My name is Matthew Collings. I'm an artist and art critic. That's what I know and understand. I'm about to enter an alien world. To me, equations have always been incomprehensible hieroglyphs. What do they describe? Are they just a mathematical game? I'll learn about some of the most important equations in science. They're actually masterpieces that explain the universe we live in. With art, I think beauty is very important, and I'm always trying to define it and work out what it is. Now I want to apply that knowledge to mathematics and maybe understand why scientists talk of beautiful equations. You've now shown me how we use that equation.
How we would use it, yes. This is our paint, really, how we paint the world. We paint it in equations. So in fact, we use that a lot. We say, oh, I'm painting. You know, we tend to use this word.
How amazing. If you can use that metaphor of paint and colours, etc., is there a place also for beauty in this world of calculating things?
I don't expect everyone to find this beautiful, but it certainly is for us and for me.
Your time is not the same as my time. These two times are different, and your time
is... If I understand the equation correctly, it says something unbelievable. That time runs at different rates, depending on how fast you're moving. Take a train zooming through a station. This equation predicts that a clock on the train, reading time T dash, would run slower than clocks reading time T on the station platform. This stretching of time seems impossible. But according to Arthur, it's been proven by a practical experiment.
Now that's really something. That's wild. And he realized that's because time is a relative quantity. As I discussed with you.
Right.
That your time is only the same as my time if we're standing still next to each other.
Yes.
But if you go away and come back, your clock, although it would be very difficult to perceive it, will read a slower time than mine.
Well, I'm taking in a lot of what you're saying so that I'm far more informed than I was before you spoke.
Good.
But the thing that's really big for me is this idea of the physical nature of time. And that seems a marvellous idea.
Oh, it turns out that there's not space and time, there's space dash time.
Right.
In other words,
they are a single entity.
Time and space are connected by the velocity of light.
That was definitely the hardest equation so far. Not just the maths, but because of the ideas it contained. You might be worrying about time on a tube train, but you wouldn't think time was actually changing shape.
In some ways, I know the basics of what an equation is. But I also know the implications of what an equation is. So there's a sort of excitement about the philosophy of an equation or the use of an equation in some kind of profound way as opposed to something like a railway timetable that tells you very detailed information. You know, the process of learning is a mixture of pain and pleasure. It's quite hard to dislodge the pattern of the world that you've already got in place and bring in a whole load of new stuff. You can appreciate it on a mythological level. Someone's telling you the myth of equations, or the myth of science, or the myth of Newton, or the myth of Einstein. They all do sound like myths to me, but as the days go by, they acquire more and more reality as each scientist adds to the stories that the other scientists have told me.
Dirac was the first scientist actually to elevate this idea of beauty to a principle. He called it the principle of mathematical beauty. And what he meant by that was that as we advance in fundamental theoretical physics, the theories, as they get closer and closer to nature, become more and more beautiful. So for him, it was a method actually of sifting out theories right from wrong, because if it wasn't beautiful, if it was ugly, in his opinion, it just wouldn't pass muster with nature. So for him, a theory had to be beautiful for it to stand a chance of describing nature.
Incredible. Here's a scientist who insisted science went through a filter of beauty, and by pursuing beauty, you end up with truth. It's an idea that's often used metaphorically, but Dirac meant it literally.
Dirac Newton, Einstein, they all had faith that they could, if they thought hard enough, they could come up with these laws that describe nature at a fundamental level.
But faith doesn't produce more faith. It actually produces equations.
Oh, absolutely. It's not like a faith that you can't verify.
Faith oils the works.
Yeah. But Dirac actually said that the principle of mathematical beauty was a kind of religion to him. He actually used those words because he really did believe with all his heart and soul, right, that a mathematically beautiful theory was going to be the kind of theory that nature backed.
All my life, science has been totally out of my orbit. What was so illuminating for me in this programme was to find out that equations are the most important tool in science, forever pushing the boundaries of knowledge. And that the greatest and most beautiful equations have a life of their own. They've given us ideas beyond the human imagination.